listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Tonight at 10:30 on Sports Time Ohio, it's time for Training Camp Daily. Training Camp Daily takes you onto the sideline and into the huddle with the Cleveland Browns. Tonight, Jim Donovan goes one-on-one with the Browns' first-round draft pick, cornerback Justin Gilbert. Doug Deacon and me, Nathan Zagura, join Jim to discuss the Cleveland Browns' quarterback race. That's all tonight at 10:30 on Training Camp Daily. Training Camp Daily, presented by PNC Bank. Tonight, 10:30 p.m. on Sports Time Ohio. It is Friday. It's 2:30. It's Zagura and Regai, and it's time to bring in the kid for the Friday forecast.
Am I allowed to give a shameless plug for that TV show?
You can. Go ahead, the kid. Talk it up.
Honestly, as you know, I watch a lot of bad sports on TV. That is fantastic sports. That is really one of the best shows out there. The show where you were on with Tony Grossi was just one of the best TV shows going.
Well, there you go. I appreciate that, the kid, very much. We just need the Tribe to wrap up their games in an efficient time manner so we don't keep getting bumped from that 10:30 spot.
Kluber did for you the other night.
And that was
2 hours and 8 minutes.
That was Wednesday when there was no practice.
There was no practice and no show.
So no show. It was messed up there. It was messed up. All right, let's bring in our producer, Casey Kulis, now for a little Friday forecast.
Number one.
All right, guys, it's been 1 week so far in training camp. What has been the best position battle?
You know, the quarterback gets the big attention. We'll go me, then Reg, and then the kid, your back cleanup today. I think the best position battle, though, continues for my money to be the running backs because I love the way that Terrence West and Ben Tate are competing. There's some surliness there. We even talked to Terrence earlier today, and I asked about the room and what it's like, and I was wondering if you were going to get a remark like Brian Hoyer gave yesterday, how, you know, Johnny and I bounce questions off each other, and Johnny was talking about how he learns from Hoyer, and Hoyer saying, you know, talking about their relationship, which seems to be blossoming, which, by the way, is a very good thing for the Browns. Didn't quite get the same response from Terrence West about what's going on in the running back room. And I thought yesterday in the goal line drill especially, you really saw it. Ben Tate got the first opportunity, met Craig Robertson in the hole, blew him up loud, and was able to fight through Dante Whitner to get in the end zone. And then West got the ball, gave a little shake to Robertson again in the hole, and was able to get in. So it's kind of a, you can do anything, I can do it better. And I've enjoyed that battle.
Yeah, so have I, but I'm going to swing to the other side of the football on that corner opposite Joe Hayden. Love Buster Screen. You know that if you listen to me here on the show, as Buster's feisty, tough, and of course with that outstanding front end speed. But Justin Gilbert, Browns Nation, he looks the part. He's straight out of Central Casting, and he can play ball hawk. Since the pads have come on, he has closed that gap significantly. And Nathan and all of our listeners, I think that Justin Gilbert is a guy that's going to be on the football field a lot for the Browns. And that's a win-win for Jim O'Neill's defense, Gilbert and Screen anyway.
Absolutely. The kid, what's your favorite battle?
Well, I like both those battles you guys mentioned, but the one I'm going to go to is for the guy that you keep saying that got beat in the goal line competitions versus Kirksey. I'd like to see Kirksey, and I'm hoping he beats him out because Robertson, no offense to the guy, but was the worst defensive player we had last year.
I will say this, and from talking to a lot of the defensive coaches and talking to a lot of the players, he was put in situations that didn't cater to his skill set last year in Ray Horton's defense. He's been put in much better situations now. Good instincts on first and second down, been utilized as a blitzer more. He's looked good. But Chris Kirksey, I think they do have something special going on with that third-round pick out of Iowa.
Number two.
All right, after Josh Gordon and Andrew Hawkins, who is the third best wide receiver on the Browns right now?
This is an easy one, and I don't know that he's even the third best wide receiver. He's up there. He is the guy. You know, listen, you look at this wide receiving group, Josh Gordon's been to the Pro Bowl. Well, the guy that I'm talking about has been to two Pro Bowls. He's had multiple thousand-yard seasons in the league, and when right now Johnny Manziel, Brian Hoyer, they need somebody to get open. It is Miles Austin. He's doing, I think he is more than holding his own with Joe Hayden in a lot of one-on-one battles on the outside. He looks like the kind of guy who could be a legitimate number one receiver in the league. Bigger than I thought he was. Physically imposing, very strong at the point. When he high points the football at the point of the catch, he has looked very good and has been by far the best receiver on this team on the outside with Josh Gordon absent from the field today.
It has been Miles Austin's strong hand. fans, kind of evoking some visions of Dallas Cowboy days gone by, everyone. So, and if that can come to be reality for the Browns, they're going to be fine at that position. Miles, stay healthy, baby.
Yes.
Stay healthy.
Yes.
Well, I'd like to be different. I think I got to agree with you guys. And he is a Jacuzzi Ricky favorite, and he was out at practice today, and he said Miles Austin was the number one player on the field.
Yeah, he has had a very strong camp, and you know, last year he was battling injuries there in Dallas, and it really kind of took away from what he was able to accomplish, and certainly some people thought perhaps his best time had gone by, but I'll tell you what, Miles Austin is a guy who's showing the form that he had in the not-too-distant past. I mean, this was a guy who was still very productive in 2012, caught 66 balls that year for 943 yards, 6 touchdowns, 14.3 a catch. So 3 of the last 5 seasons, he has been over 900 yards. He's had 6 or more touchdowns in 4 of the 5. So he still has some juice in him. And even the year in 2011, an injury-shortened season for him, had 600 yards and 7 touchdowns, 43 catches in only 10 games. Last year was the first year where Miles Austin did not really live up to the billing, and he was moved in a position in the slot in Dallas that I don't think really suits his skill set. Well, he's healthy now. He's explosive. He's strong. He is back on the outside, and he has been playing very well for the Cleveland Browns. Keep him on ice. Keep him healthy.
Number 3.
In your opinion, who has the inside track on the other inside linebacker position right now?
You know, Craig Robertson is the veteran, but Chris Kirksey, I think, since the pads have come on, has been a revelation. And it is already, you're starting to get the sense that Ray Farmer really hit a home run in this draft, because when you look at this draft class, Justin Gilbert looks every bit like he was the best corner in this draft. Johnny Manziel making progress, and you're very excited to see him play quarterback. Joel Bitonio, day one starter at left guard. Chris Kirksey, taken in the third round, he is looking now like a guy who could very well be the day one starter at the will linebacker position next to Carlos Dansby. Maybe the best cover linebacker on this team already. Natural instincts reminding some of Lance Briggs. Terrence West, obviously a great pick. You can see that right now. And Pierre Desir has made huge strides already in training camp with the pads coming on. Now, he might need a little more time to adjust, but certainly the physical talent is there. I think this was a great draft. Oh, and by the way, Reg, they also picked up a first-round pick for next year in this draft. So it is starting to look very good for what Ray Farmer and company put together. And Chris Kirksey right now, I think he's got the inside track. I just think he's going to be tough to keep off the field.
No question he's going to be tough to keep on the field. And the way Nathan just laid that out, we could say that Ray Farmer right now, there's a long ways to go, has hit a grand slam home run. I mean, walk-off, run-off in the bottom of the ninth with the way he shaped his draft. I love the fact, and everybody was bemoaning it, and Browns fans, you know, come on now, you got to raise your hands. You were some livid when Ray Farmer drafted Joel Bitonio. That second round, you wanted that wide receiver there. And I'll give you, there were some that should make an impression in the league. But this offensive line needed to get nastier.
It did.
It needed to get more physical. It needed to get tougher in its demeanor. And Bitonio, all you got to do is ask Joe Thomas and Alex Mack. They'll tell you he's been able to do that. I really like the way Bitonio has taken to this opportunity. And I think he's made it his already. I mean, this starting spot at left guard is Joel Bitonio's.
Yep.
Is done.
Well, Regs, I was one of those people raising my hand, crying for a while.
All right, kid.
But as you know, I'm an unabashed Ray Farmer fan, so in Ray I trust, and it's starting to look like a historic San Francisco 49ers type draft. Kirksey, as you know, is a personal favorite of mine. He's going to win that battle.
I agree with you. And, you know, to go back to your point about Bitonio as we digress for a second from the Friday forecast, but we have the liberty to do so. When you really think about it at that pick at the second round, and you think about if Josh Gordon isn't here, I think if Miles Austin stays healthy, you're going to get more out of Miles Austin than you would have gotten out of any of the receivers available to you at that spot.
No doubt.
And now you have an opportunity, knowing that you're going to be more of a ground-oriented football team, to really buttress that offensive line, get a guy in there who's nasty, who's a mauler, but also incredibly athletic, who is really going to strengthen the foundation of what I think this offense is ultimately going to be built upon. So when you really look back on it, take a step back, it was a brilliant move to do that, knowing that you had some other opportunities and options at the receiver position?
Him and Bitonio, I'm sorry, Kid, him and Kirksey too.
Yep.
Both of them, and we might as well keep adding up. He didn't, you know, there were many that lamented them when he took Kirksey in the third round. Still no wide receiver. But, you know, this is why I think Farmer has been so adept at not just taking guys because they're talents, but do they fit with these systems and the schemes you're looking to run? That was huge. Kid, you'd agree with that, right?
Absolutely. I think that he stuck to his blueprint, as he said all along. I, like many others, felt he was being stubborn with the receivers. But now looking at it, Kirksey looks to be a 10-year starter. A receiver there is an iffy proposition.
It is. It is a tough position to draft, and we've seen lots of receivers, guys who weren't supposed to be good end up being great, and I'll throw a couple names out for you real quickly, but Miles Austin, undrafted free agent, he's had a pretty darn good career for himself. Steve Johnson in Buffalo. Antonio Brown, not undrafted, but Antonio Brown was never supposed to be a guy who set the Steelers franchise record for receiving yards as he did just a year ago. So wide receivers can be made, and I think when you really step back and look at the model around the National Football League, they produced three of the four best teams in the NFL. You had teams that were top five in defense, top five on the ground, and bottom 25% in passing offense. And that references very quickly the Super Bowl champion Seattle Seahawks, the Carolina Panthers, and, of course, the San Francisco 49ers. So there is something, a method to this madness. All right, we had a long answer there to number three. We covered a lot of ground. Let's go number four here, the final Friday forecast.
All right, guys, last one. What are your top three things you are looking for in tomorrow's scrimmage?
For me, it is how do these quarterbacks respond to the first, what I would consider to be real pressure, real game situations. People forget, they think of Brian Hoyer as the veteran, as a guy who's done this. Remember, Brian Hoyer started three games in the NFL. He has never been an opening day starter in the National Football League. He is trying to protect what is being viewed by some as a lead, by his offensive coordinator, Kyle Shanahan, who said nobody has a lead. A quarterback competition to get that job in his hometown, something that he has wanted his whole life. How does he respond to the pressure of that? How does Johnny Manziel respond when the lights are finally on bright? Can he come out there in a game situation and do the things that earned him the name Johnny Football, Texas A&M? So I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to see how does this ground game come together? How, when the line is out there really blocking the defense, does this zone scheme, how is it taking shape? And then finally, I'm looking at which receiver, other than Miles Austin and Andrew Hawkins, is going to step up. Who is going to say, I'm going to be the one that is going to make plays for this team? We have seen flashes of it from Anthony Armstrong. We have seen flashes of it from baby hawk Taylor Gabriel. And we've seen some good routes and the ability to get open from Charles Johnson. We have not seen him catch the football consistently yet. That has been troublesome. But can he do it when it matters? And Nate Burleson, the savvy vet, what will he show? Those are my three big keys.
I like all of those, Nathan. The quarterbacking situation is a given, so we'll move on. I want to see. I've tweeted about it today. We've discussed it. Does this defense, the front seven, in concert with the back four, can they start to show a physical playmaking, ball-hawking nature? I know it's just a family day, a scrimmage that is against your own, but you want to start seeing that. Also looking at how does this offensive line make the transition from the team that you had to block for leading the NFL in passes thrown last year to one that's going to cut that dramatically and rely on the run game. There's a transition the offensive line's got to make. How can they do that when we just talked about all the rookies? Are the Joel Bitonios, the Justin Gilberts, the Terrence West, are they going to start to show the coaching staff tomorrow, we belong? Put me in prime time, Coach, because the lights are coming on now, and we're ready for our time on Broadway. I want to look for that as well.
Well, I think first and foremost, it's got to be Johnny Football. I mean, we've been waiting a long time for this, and people could be all excited they want about Brian Hoyer, but if this team's going to be a Super Bowl team, Johnny Football is the only quarterback on this roster that's going to make it a Super Bowl team.
The kid.
That may shake some feathers around here, but that's the reality. The other thing that I'm looking for at the scrimmage is if flashes on the field. If flashes on the field, then that means there could be a good ruling coming down.
That's true. Mike Pettine saying today he wasn't sure about the travel schedule for Josh Gordon, but you know, if he is there, the sense is now that we're not going to hear anything until next week, so there shouldn't be any reason why he isn't able to practice unless the proceedings are going back and forth, I would say.
Well, if he's, it could be like a LeBron, I'm back. He could come back. He can announce 8-game suspension, ready for the playoffs. Be a huge lift for the squad.
It certainly would be a huge lift for the squad and the kid. I'm sorry you will not be able to make it tomorrow. Elena Dora's birthday party. I wish I could be in attendance, but my wife and the children will be representing tomorrow while the Browns are on the field in Akron.
Your presence will be missed, but quite understood.
Ladies and gentlemen, the kid, you can follow him on Twitter at DAKID97. Friend of
Thanks.
The show, the kid for the Friday Forecast. We'll be back wrapping it up very quickly with our final thoughts. Zagura Ragai wrapping up the first real week of training camp here in Berea.